It's time for our monthly sit-down with President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau, Steve Burness, and a lot to talk about this month, Steve.
There's always something to talk about.
The Cubs, the Cubs are still playing baseball.
In October.
In October.
Right. That's a good sign.
That's something in itself, but of course, you have just issued the Be on the Lookout for Counterfeit Tickets
exactly.
And fake merchandise.
We're seeing that already happening, and it's going to get worse as the time gets closer to World Series, because as you get closer to World Series, the tickets are more, and therefore the scammers come out of the woodwork and try to fleece the consumers from their money. So basically, one thing consumers have to remember is buy from a licensed ticket broker. That is key, that is pivotal, or the team itself. And those are the only two things that are safe and sound. Other than that, if you're buying from somebody on Craigslist, where most are done, it's like buying somebody from pulls up in a car on a dark alley and says, come on down here, I got something for you.
Right.
You wouldn't do that in person.
No.
So why would you do that on Craigslist as well? So be very careful. And also, you know, on Craigslist is like you don't know who that person is. And it's not like you're buying a couch where you physically get a couch. You could see it.
Yeah.
You get tickets, you look at them, but you don't know if they're good until when? Game day.
Right.
So if it's 3 days away, that's when you're going to figure out the tickets are bad. There's nothing you can call or do now ahead of time letting know there's a good tickets because the scammer is not going to let you give that opportunity.
All right. So is there a way to tell that you're being scammed? I mean, say you do go to a site that you think is legit. I mean, Craigslist, for most of the items that they have on there, is a pretty legit site.
So
you
is.
Buy your tickets on Craigslist or even just, you know, somehow over the internet or through another app. I mean, there's so many apps out there now where you can get these tickets, or maybe somebody even, you know, comes up with their own and tries to sell them to you face to face. How do you know that you're being scammed? How do you know it's a fake ticket?
Unfortunately, you don't. That's the key to this, is that you can look at the ticket all you want, but you cannot tell. Sometimes the police have told us that, the stadium has told us that, Ticketmaster has told us that over the years, you can't tell the difference sometimes. And sometimes you don't even know what to look out for. So if you got a hologram, what's the hologram look like? So again, sometimes they, people post tickets on Facebook and you could see them, and you should not do that as a consumer. And the reason behind that, because of the barcode.
Right.
If the scammer grabs that barcode, you can kiss that ticket goodbye. They can start using that number and start fleecing others. So again, there's really nothing that you can do to prove that it's a fake ticket until game day when you
right.
go there and then you get rejected. And now a lot of these venues, including the Chicago Theater and others, have the ushers automatically have a sheet of paper in there explaining what happened to you. So it happens so frequently.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. I've been doing this for 29 years at Consumer Protection, and it's been around my whole 29 years. And before I even started with the organization, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you that there are going to be counterfeit tickets for every single game.
Right.
And the ushers have that pre-printed form in their pocket saying the tickets you gave us are fake, fraudulent, sorry you're not getting in, and goodbye. That's it.
Too bad, so sad.
What are you going to do? Call the police? What did the guy look like? I mean, where
exactly.
is he? And that's considered petty theft, as we all know. The police around the stadium are all more worried about more other crowd control and other things.
Sure.
Than worrying about petty theft like that. So you got to be very careful. If you don't trust a person, then you can't buy them. You shouldn't buy them, rather. So, yes, Craigslist, people buy and sell all the time. I agree on that. But, again, when you're in Craigslist, you're physically getting something. So you can tell if you're buying a couch or a phone, they hand it to you. If you're getting tickets, you're getting handed something you don't know actually if it's going to be good, valid at all until game day. Again, last week we had a woman buying Hamilton tickets for her 16-year-old daughter. And, of course, they were fake. But when she went to go pick them up, this individual who she said looked like a college kid, the college kid said, what are they for? So for my daughter's 16th birthday, was right next to him. And he goes, happy birthday. I hope you have a good time tonight. Knowing these tickets, in a few hours she would be crying.
Didn't
and she
even
did.
Care.
She didn't care. They don't care. That's what I'm trying to get across.
Right,
scammers
right.
don't care.
Right.
And they kind of make it a joke of it. For him to wish her a happy birthday is like, you know, putting more
it's
salt
cruel.
On the wound.
It's completely cruel. With fake tickets, of course, fake merchandise.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
You're going to see, I bet you see more fake merchandise, Steve, than you do the
you
legit
will.
Merchandise.
Exactly. You'll see that. And especially if somebody pulls up in a car and a trunk opens up a trunk and it pulls it out of a box. I can almost guarantee that it's going to be fake and counterfeit in some way. And
you're going to wash it and then the logo will disappear immediately.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it won't be any logo there. It'll be a white
yeah,
shirt.
Right.
It happens all the time. You know, people want to get the same shirts they see on TV, especially if they win the pennant or if they win the series, whatever it may be. This players put those on automatically. Everybody wants to be like that. And if you go to retail stores, they may not have a shipment, so you go to the guy that pulls up in a
sure,
car.
Sure.
Again, the Chicago Cubs filed suit about 2 weeks ago. A lot of vendors on the side, not the retailers, a lot of vendors. that actually, you know, have those quick setup shops or having around their arm. Again, they also filed suit against online retailers that are fraudulent in essence. So it's not a well-known brand or anything like that. So again, you got to trust who you're buying from. Anything, like any other product or service you buy in today's marketplace,
right?
Unless you know and trust the company or individual, you don't buy from them.
When they file, when you say they're filing suit, is that to get them to stop selling the merchandise altogether?
Yes, stop the merchandise and pay damages to the Chicago Cubs, three times the value of the merchandise, because they want to pay for the, because they're infringing on a trademark violation.
Right.
It's a multitude of things. So the Cubs are trying to get punitive damages from those individuals as well, and to stop them. Most importantly, is to stop them. But it's going to happen. Like the tickets and the merchandise, as soon as they win or game day.
Yeah.
You go out there and you're going to be a lot of people hawking tickets. And again, that's illegal, but they're going to be out there.
Sure.
And if it's illegal, why would you buy it from somebody?
So
you have no protection.
Bottom line is, when it comes to tickets and merchandise, maybe be prepared to pay a little bit more.
Right.
Go to a reputable site. Like I said, you're going to pay more,
right,
but at least you'll have a legit ticket,
exactly,
or a legit hat or jersey, whatever it is
whatever
you're buying.
It is. Right, and then you have protection if something goes wrong. So if you do buy it from a well-known ticket place and there is some problem with the tickets, what does happen every once in a while, you have your chance of getting your money back. When you give it to a scammer, you basically like open your window and throw the money out the window. It's the same thing. You're going to lose it. And you're not going to get it back.
Steve, what are some of the other fall scams that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, of course, always with fall scams, there's always that door-to-door. That's what we always see as problems with, because door-to-door individuals walk around and they have no company, they don't have any insurance, no license. Again, not all door-to-door are bad actors, as I call them, but a majority of them are.
Sure.
You have to do some research on them. So if you're hiring somebody who comes door-to-door, you got to do the research on them. As an individual, contact the Better Business Bureau, of course. But secondary is, you always want to get two or three bids, not just one. And so many times these people are door-to-door. They come and they give money and they never show up, or they start and they walk away. Or in the worst-case scenario, which happens a lot in Chicago, Elgin, I know, issued a release not too long ago about people coming to your door dressed as contractors and saying they work for the city. I was at a meeting last week with Commonwealth Edison in Oak Brook with them. And they said she was at a flea market type event a few weeks ago, and they were selling ComEd vest.
Oh, no.
So she, obviously that tells you that they're out there.
Right.
Doesn't matter what the vest says or what the ID. Call them first. The organization, the number you have for them, not what the person gives you, and make sure that they're supposed to be there.
Right.
And as well. But door-to-door always scares me. You're letting somebody into your door, you don't know who they are. And don't go to the backyard and say they want to show you something, because then somebody comes in the front door and goes through your stuff.
And it's the time of year, too. That's why we say fall scams, because, yeah, gutter cleaning. Of
right.
course,
oh,
you're going to
yes.
have the leaves
who
in
wants
your gutter.
To go? I don't want to go up in the gutter.
Yeah, no,
no.
I don't either. Absolutely. Yeah. Or, you know, getting your chimney, your fireplace ready,
right.
and someone comes up to your door. So you always say, you know, give me your card. I'll consider it.
I'll consider it.
Don't
I'll,
act right there.
Consider it as well.
Yeah.
Then do some homework with the Better Business Bureau. Check on them. Go on Google, put the company's name in there and put scam next to it and see what comes up as well. The bad actors normally don't have cards, or they have cards that are fraudulent in nature. They just go around from neighborhood to neighborhood. So they're storm chasers. You're going to always, if there's a flooding, if there's a heavy snowstorm, whatever, you'll get the storm chasers. So they always come around. But again, they victimize people. And a lot of times these especially are victimized our senior citizens because they're home.
Right.
You know, that's probably what it most likely comes down to. A lot of people work from home, so everybody's susceptible to this, but by and large, the senior citizens don't want to get victimized. Even the ones that saying they're from the, you know, Commonwealth Edison when they're not, those are usually victimized our senior citizens group.
The Better Business Bureau has come up with this great fall chore checklist, and it includes some of the items we've been talking about, Steve. Your chimney, roof, gutter, water heater, energy audit, window seals. I think I've gotten two solicitations at least with the energy audit and the chimney cleaning by mail.
Yeah.
Are those, you know, when you get something by mail, should you again investigate, look
yes.
into it, do your homework?
Exactly. Regardless if they come to your door or if you get it in the mail, you still have to do the homework on the organization. And just because the website looks pretty or looks like a Fortune 500 company doesn't mean anything. Because scammers, what they do is they right-click, copy-paste. They steal everything. They steal the BBB logo. How many companies out there, we send a cease and desist letter every day to organizations who misuse our seal or put it on their website? basically saying they're endorsed by the BBB or accredited by the BBB. So again, scammers are going to try to separate you from your money as well. But if you get it in the mail and they want to come out like an energy audit, the reason they do energy audit is because they say you can, you know, save money in the long run, but they get all your account numbers. So you're giving all the bills. So they have everything in there. And they always promise that you'll save money. And you may for the first few months until you turn your gas on and they realize the gas is double what you paid last year.
Right, I'm not saving money.
Exactly. So really you got to do – there's great organizations out there that you can compare your bills with. You just contact the Better Business Bureau. We can steer you in the right direction of organization that can help you. Saying there's going to be saving. By and large, you got to be careful of those companies.
And you mentioned, too, storms as well. And we're in the midst right now of Hurricane Matthew as hurricane season.
Correct.
When Sandy hit the Eastern Seaboard and Haiti, too, donations, people soliciting donations. What does someone do if they want to help, make a donation, learn more, and not get scammed by sending their money to someone they think is a charity?
Exactly. Well, the key to remember is we want you to give, but give wisely. So if the charity wants your money today, they're going to want it tomorrow and the next day and the next week. Unfortunately, a situation like that, when the TV starts showing the devastation that's going to occur or possibly occur in Florida, people want to help. So they look quickly to see how they can help, and you may get an email, or you may get a telephone call, or you may get a knock on your door. There's so many ways of doing this. We always see this with natural disasters. The scam artists come out of the woodwork. So you got to do some research on a charity. You've got to get the financial information to see how the charity is spending their money. You just don't want to give to anybody. You want to give to a cause that you know. And be very careful of charities that have similar names. So they may change a few words around. And you think it's a well-known charity, you know, and it's like American Red Cross. They may say Red Cross of America, just as an example. So be very careful, because sometimes people don't even listen to what they're hearing. They think it's a charity they donated in the past. Again, these lists are bought and sold. So if you donate to a charity and the privacy, you know, policy that allows them to sell your name, as soon as you sell, they sell their name, it's gold to them.
Right.
So the next charity or next mailing house, it's a commodity then, and people buy and sell your name. So if you gave to somebody and they know that they're going to sell your name, if the charity has that ability in the privacy policy. So you got to be very careful of those. You start getting a lot of calls. But again, be just really doing the research on the charity itself. The high pressure is usually what we call the tip-off to the rip-off.
Right.
That you got to donate in 5 minutes. I mean, nobody has to donate in 5 minutes. Most scams are like that. If you get a call from any type of organization, Commonwealth Edison, People's Gas, FBI, IRS, and they say you have a half hour to pay, that is the 100% guarantee that is the tip-off to the rip-off. It's a scam. Because that's how those scams operate. They don't want you to think. They don't want you to check. They don't want you to talk to your siblings. They don't want you to talk to your mom.
And they threaten, too.
They threaten.
Oh, yes. Like, oh, you can go to jail. You can be arrested.
People have
called me
and been crying on the phone.
Right.
Because they threaten them. They say they're going to be deported. They're going to say they lose their driver's license. You'll never work again in the USA, whatever it may be. But always the tip-off to the rip-off is that quick cash. You can get out of it. Within 30 minutes, you give me X amount of dollars. And this happens exactly with charities, too. The same, particularly, they're not threatening you, but they're calling you and saying they need a donation within 30 minutes.
Right.
If a charity wants your money today, they're going to try their hardest to get it tomorrow and the next day as well. Then you know you're maybe dealing with a fraudulent charity. Again, some people want to donate too, so ask what the charity does, because sometimes people, you know, leave donations or clothing or water or whatever, and the charity has no way of getting it down there or no way of helping them. So you got to figure out what the charity does and what they're going to do with the merchandise if you give them stuff. And some don't want, you know, donations or clothing, rather, or water. They just want the cash.
The money, yeah.
Right, because they don't have anybody on the ground to take it down there.
Sure.
So you got to be very careful on that aspect. But really, just knowing about how the charity raises money and what, you know, how much is going to the administration and how much is going to the charity itself. And you can get that through the Better Business Bureau as well. We have the local presence. We also have give.org, which is the international website of all charities that we review and see if they meet our 23 different charitable accountability standards. Again, not every charity is registered either. So if we don't have information, it doesn't mean they're good or bad. You still got to do some research on your own.
Do the research. Yeah,
exactly.
It doesn't take that long. It's a couple more clicks. And
right.
As long as you're giving your money or trying to help out, you want to make sure it's going to the right people. Do you think, Steve, a final thought, or I guess final topic, at least for this month, and I know this is going to be an ongoing discussion as well, social media, be socially smart. Our profiles and our information are so ubiquitous.
Right.
I mean, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Instagram. We're putting our pictures out there, our information, our birthdays, things like that. Even these GoFundMe pages, I mean, these are it's fertile ground for scammers.
Right, exactly. It happens all the time. People put too much on the profiles, and they really do. They put their last name. They put their birth dates, which you should never do. I think I'm only 20 years old in my profile.
Me too. Yeah, exactly. in real life. So.
Exactly. So I'm not lying. But really, you don't put your age down, because they need this information. They can garner and take and use against you in some way, especially when the kids put down their, like on spring break or fall break, they put down their in Mexico. Well, they look to see who your grandparents are, and then they call your grandparents and they say, your son, your daughter, or your nephew, grandson has been injured in Mexico. They were drunk driving and he's been arrested, and you think you know he's down there.
Right.
So they use anything as well to let you know that they can take advantage of you. If you're going on vacation, post the pictures after you get there.
You leave.
Look at the whole debacle, what happened, you know, with the Kardashian.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, she's posting pictures.
A few hours before, she was showing that ring.
With her $10 million jewelry.
Yeah. Do it after. Don't tell us where you're at.
Do it after.
Exactly.
But be careful, too, because that's a great example. I know a lot of people would poke fun at that, but, you know, in a situation like that, someone would know, okay, you were just in France. Right. So someone can call and say, you know, I'm a representative of the French police or the French government and try and scam you that way.
Exactly. Know where you're at. She was telling everybody where she was going the whole day.
Yeah.
So you knew exactly where she was at all times. Basically, you're giving the thieves.
It's like harvesting.
It's harvesting. But again, you just put your name in Google and you can imagine, you can see all what comes up, and you can't get rid of it. Try to get rid of it. If you see a picture on there that you posted when you were a kid or a teenager, and now we always talk to the students as well, and it's like, don't put anything on the internet that you don't want it to see in 20 years because it's going to stay there.
How do you get rid of it? I mean, if you Google yourself and your address is up there, it's hard to get that stuff offline.
I mean, you can talk to Google and that, but it's very difficult, depending on the site that posted it, too. It's not just Google. Google's a search engine. It's providing a third-party site.
Yeah.
So you got to get to that site and get it and forget it. I mean, then somebody else copies it and it's sold. I mean, I look for pictures on mine that are years old. I don't know how they got it, but again, they're all over the internet. But again, it's harvesting for scams. You got your, you know, distress calls. You got the, you know, break-ins, like I said, of vacation homes, too. Right. Identity theft is big because they need so much information on you. They'll look at the ID, the person itself, and try to get more information from them and some way to attack them. And then the phishing emails are still a problem. When you get an email from your bank's not going to ask you for your bank account number.
I know.
It's mind-boggling that people still fall for that, but it works, and they continue to do that. And the only way to put scams out of business is obviously not to give them your business. But again, they see – I remember the first time I received it, and I said, I had a double take. That's my bank's logo and stuff. They just stole it.
They just stole it.
They don't know if you were – yeah, it's not hard at all.
Right, and change your passwords.
Passwords,
I know. Yeah. BBB website has some great tips on how to change your passwords and not use, you know, your pet's name or the street that you once lived on.
And double authentication, basically. Yeah. What it means by that is that you have a double protection. So basically, not only do you have a password, you have some other code that you must give in order for them to get access to your account. And that helps you on your own site. So a lot of those sites have that already, including Google. Just look for the double, you know, password protection capabilities and change it regularly. You know, some people have it for years. And you got to check your accounts. You got to check your statements. I mean, we had a consumer a few weeks ago, you know, we're trying to go back 5 years. These charges appeared. What can you do in 5 years? It's gone. It's out of your bank, you know. You can't do anything. Well, I didn't look at my account. Well, that's your fault. You got to do your due diligence, you know.
Be smart and be safe.
And get your credit report every year religiously.
Every year. Yep.
I don't care if you buy credit, have anything on credit. That's the first way you know you've been a victim of identity theft, and that's annualcreditreport.com. Not anybody else's with the banjos and the singing and all the other stuff. Annualcreditreport.com.
And when in doubt,
check it out with the Better Business Bureau. Before you buy or hire, BBB it.
Thank you so much, Steve.
My pleasure.